The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In.
You have always been a voice of reason through all of this.
Appreciate your time, what you're doing for America.
I give you advice, and it doesn't work at all.
You are definitely not inept by any means.
I like to hear women say that about me.
Whatever advice you're going to send my way, I am 100% taking it.
I can't tell you what to do. I will not tell you what to do.
Okay. Well, thanks.
That wasn't the answer I wanted.
Are you kidding me?
Great stuff, Dr. Ray. I'm glad I called.
I've scheduled my day around listening to your radio show.
You don't have to laugh so hard.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Where's the proof? That's an email I got. You say that listening to your program can raise your IQ. Yeah, testing on this? No, we have anecdotal evidence. I've had several people write me and say that they go $40 farther in jeopardy in getting the correct answer. And some of them have even said they got rivers in Siberia, which is something they had no chance at before. Just wanted to tell you that. Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. Always nice to have you with me. I don't know that you're with me because I don't know who's out there. You know I'm here. So you know I'm with you. And we can be together if you just call. It's very simple. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's easy enough. The number's not easy, but the acronymically translation is 877-57-EQUAL. Why would you call? Well, that's up to you. Your motivation. Maybe you have a situation you want to just bounce off of me. Well, at my age, yeah, bouncing off of me hurts more than it used to. I remember when I was 12, I used to play ball off the side of the garage, and I would dive for the ball to make a great catch. Yeah, yeah. Now, back then, I was diving on the moon. Now, I would feel like I'm diving on Jupiter. Or if you have a comment about something that somebody else has said, or previous show you've been on the air, or if you disagree with me, you disagree with me, not hostily now, and you're put straight to the front. Absolutely. No question to the front, because maybe I can clarify it, or if I haven't thought it through clearly enough, and you make the point that I haven't, I can say I was wrong. And I said that once. I said I was 1994. Yeah, 1994. I said I was wrong, and I think it was because I thought I was wrong, and I really wasn't. So you could say I was wrong about being wrong. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number. Tonight, every night, 10 o'clock Eastern, and Saturday and Sunday mornings, 7 o'clock Eastern, on EWTN Radio, that big network, Father Mike Schmitz guides you through the entire Bible. Yep, yep. That's a big podcast, too. That thing is way up there in popularity. And also the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 365 episodes. Want to understand what it means to be Catholic? This is for you. Allow these truths to shape your life. Let's do some mathematics. If I remember anything correctly from my 1 year of calculus in college. We've just come through the Easter season. Well, we're in the Easter season, but we've just come through Easter Sunday. And most, if not, well, I'd say most of you listening, because we do have non-believers listening, and we have folks of various thoughts about Easter listening. And you're welcome to be here, by the way. Believe that Christ rose from the dead. And you believe that Christ is God. And you believe that if you persevere in your faithfulness to him through the grace of God, that someday you will be with him forever. And perhaps with some of your loved ones. Who knows which ones? You believe this. Now let's think about the mathematics of this. How many people live in the world? Estimates are, it's hard to count, you know, but estimates are between 7 and 8 billion, with a B. As Carl Sagan would have said, billions and billions. I think Sagan was an atheist. Well, he has passed away, so he will either know or not know if he was correct. 8 billion. Let's use an even number of billions for mathematical in our head calculations. 8 billion. Estimates of how many Christians there are in the world. Roughly 2 billion. Maybe a little more, but let's make the math easy. 2 billion. 25% of the world proclaims to be Christian. Of that 25%, roughly 1.2 billion proclaim to be Catholic. So that brings us down to about 13% now. Of the 13% of the world that proclaims to be Catholic, if you look at the numbers of those who even meet the minimal requirement of being Catholic, which is Sunday Mass obligation, in the U.S., that's 17%. Nigeria is 95%. Which is, by the way, the most dangerous place to be a Christian going to Mass. But overall, how do we estimate? Well, let's say, given the various places in the world, that maybe a safe number would be 30% of self-proclaimed Catholics attend Mass on Sunday regularly. All right. So you've got 14% of the world being Catholic, roughly. And of that 14%, you have 30% of that 14%, which brings you down to about 4%. So you have about 4% of the world who is Catholic and attends Mass on a weekly basis. Now, let's not make any judgments. We can't, about the state of embracing of the Catholic faith of those who attend Mass on a weekly basis. If you look at the surveys, and you just take the U.S. as a microcosmic example, there are a lot of folks who attend Sunday Mass who do not believe some or much of what the Catholic Church teaches morally, doctrinally. But let's just leave that away. Let's assume that anybody who goes to Mass weekly in the world embraces the full truth of what Christ teaches through his church. That still leaves us at 4%. You had, when you were born, a 4% chance of being where you are now. Just by the numbers, 1 out of 25 births were in a position to hear about, to know about, and to believe in Christ and his resurrection. Does that make you feel grateful for what you know? Are you filled with a sense of inexpressible gratitude, knowing, mathematically speaking, you had a 1 in 25 chance of being born into a situation where you embrace the faith like that. You are an infinitely privileged group, a very small one. You could have been born in 75% of the other places in this world's population where you would have had a minuscule chance, if any, of hearing about Christ. You would have been raised either to not know him, or you would have been raised to believe in a completely different belief system. And that was not at all your selection. I believe God can make it all fair. He's infinite. But still, when I think about those numbers, I can't wrap my head around God's gift of letting me know what I know, of helping me to believe what I know. And that better change the way I live. That gratitude is beyond comprehension. It should be. And it should affect me dramatically. And the fact that it doesn't, well, I think that's one of my greatest weaknesses. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call to get onto the program. Thank you.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart-friendly, ride-your-bike-everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort-style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at avemaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Dr. Ray Grandy, psychologist, father of 10, five boys, five estrogen Americans, and my grandmother's great-grandson's father. Ah, figure that one out. All right, a lot of good questions up there. Let's find out what Pete from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I was there, Pete. I went to Murfreesboro. I didn't realize how big it was. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I guess Murfreesboro is the second biggest town in Tennessee, right?
No, it'd be the maybe the fifth biggest.
Well, somebody
first, then Nashville, then Knoxville, then Chattanooga.
Oh, okay.
Then maybe Murfreesboro.
All right, because they told me Murfreesboro is about 300,000. I thought, whoa, that's pretty big. All right, so you got a question.
Every day. Yeah.
Is this question about you or someone you know?
Someone I know.
Okay.
Just curiosity.
Go ahead.
Can a fallen away Catholic who's remarried, not annulled, go to reconciliation?
Well, sure. Well, sure they can.
Okay.
But here's the – wait a minute. Here's the difference. If they go to confession, reconciliation, and their intent is to say, what I did was against church's teaching, or actually Christ's teaching, and therefore I am committing to live a chaste brother and sister relationship with this person, or if in fact there are no children being raised and they say we had best live separately because our marriage is not recognized by our church and we want to get back into our church, then they can do that. But if they say, I'm just going to go to confession, I'm going to say, yeah, I had a relationship with a second person, and even though the church said I was still married to the first person, I decided to ignore that, which, by the way, many, many, many self-proclaimed Catholics do now. They can't simply say, okay, now I'm back, without changing their life circumstance.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You are welcome, Pete. Appreciate that, my friend. Interestingly enough, on a little follow-up to Pete's question here, this is probably second only to contraception in the church's moral teaching that people either ignore or disobey. And in many cases, what tends to happen is that if the church's teaching on the indissolubility, in other words, the permanent commitment of marriage, is ignored, they will, if they meet another person, they can't get married in the church, which makes them very angry. When I was in the evangelical world, we had Catholics, former Catholics, who were very angry at the church because they wanted to get, quote-unquote, remarried, and the evangelical church would remarry them, but the Catholic wouldn't. So what they did is they found it much more to their suitability to say, well, okay, then I'll just quit practicing the Catholic faith. It's interfering with something that I very, very much want to do in my life. Okay. Margaret, I'm a little nervous about taking this call because I'm not going to second guess any other person who has a program because, one, I don't know what all the details were. I didn't hear the call. And secondly, I'm getting, okay, you're not asking me to comment. Okay, good. If you're asking me to offer some knowledge about the topic, I can probably do that. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Dr. Ray. So I was calling because...
Don't identify the program. Just simply say on another program.
Okay, so on another program... this caller was talking about how he prays, but I didn't hear everything he said. I was just barely tuning in. And he said how he prays, but he doesn't trust people. He's contemplating suicide. He has a 7-year-old daughter. And I just wanted to know your thoughts on it. I know my thoughts. I kept thinking how, I believe it's just the devil's lies, especially during this time of grace, during this Easter season. This man who apparently prays with devotion and all these things, I think that he has not actually, like, it hasn't sunk into himself. Like, he doesn't actually realize that he is a sinner. If he realized that he is a sinner, he would know that he is capable of doing the same or worse than those people that he says hurt him. And I think it's more of a case of ego. I think it's just the devil telling him that he's better than those people. And at this time, he's experiencing a moment of humility, because if he would realize, like for him, like me, I'm a father. He's saying, if he would tell himself this, I'm a father, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and I think I'm better than everybody else, even though, you know, and I'm going to kill myself. Like, how does that make him better than any of those people? If anything, I really think that makes him worse, because God gave him that life.
I know. Okay, so you've got the picture here. Now, a couple of things, a couple of cautions, Margaret. One, you're making an awful lot of extrapolations on the basis of hearing a couple of minutes. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you said, well, obviously Satan's influencing him. Well, it's not so obvious. I mean, he could be influenced by many other things. He could be influenced by his own struggles. He could be influenced by some kind of biochemically based depression. You can't know that. All right, so that's second thing. Third thing, you say, well, his praying is not sinking in. Because if his praying were sinking in, he wouldn't be having those thoughts. We can't say that. I know a lot of faith-filled people. I've seen them in my office. And I don't doubt that they're faith-filled. And they're truly struggling with feelings of depression and even having some kind of suicidal ideation. Now, we don't know how serious his suicidal ideation is. I mean, he may have been saying, the thought crosses my mind. Or he may have been saying, I intend to do it. So we really don't know. To summarize it, I guess what I would say is, it's risky to make the conclusions on what is going on with a person's head without really getting into knowing, exploring. There's times when I do therapy that it isn't until the fourth session that I finally uncover something that explains more clearly why this person is in the emotional state they are. Prior to that, it was confusing to me. It wasn't coming out. I couldn't find it. And then they said something, then they revealed something, then they made a statement that contradicted something they said two sessions before that helped me clarify a little better what's going on. So those are the cautions I would offer you on that. My dear, there you go. Thank you, Margaret. I appreciate it. We had a question there from Tanner, and I don't know. He said, what is the Catholic Church's position on the red heifer sacrifice in Israel? I'm not sure really what that is or what that means. And Andrew usually looks it up, but Tanner dropped. Okay, so let's go to Beth from Michigan. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Hey, Beth. Yo, Beth, be very careful about what you say, because you are on the air, and that warning is to tell you that if I don't hear a compliment in the first 30 seconds or so, we could just disconnect you.
Oh, thank you for taking my phone call. I'm very honored to talk to you.
That's close. That's good enough. All right. Andrew, leave her on the phone for at least another minute.
What
are you nervous about here?
Well, I actually emailed you a little bit ago. Our little guy is in sort of a Young Fives program, preschool half-day program, before going to kindergarten. And his teacher at his conference recently said he's very well-behaved, super sweet little boy, but sometimes a little distracted in getting his schoolwork done. And
schoolwork in preschool?
Right.
Uh-huh. What happened to the sandbox? What happened to the block station?
Right.
What happened to the spray paint? Yeah, okay. All right, go ahead.
Right. Well, so I my gut is that it's probably just a 5-year-old being a 5-year-old little boy. He's very, very sharp, and when he gets interested in something, he has incredible focus. But it was suggested to me that we test him for ADD, which I thought was a little too early and a little over the top, but I wanted to get your take.
Beth, don't leave me. That music says I have to take a break. Forces me to eat a donut or whatever I do. So stay right there, because there are 9 layers to your very, very straightforward question. This is Dr. Ray.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Do you know what your diocese, what your church, what your parish is doing to help families in need? Women who feel they're in a desperate situation and for whatever reason, God forbid, may consider abortion. This is not difficult. The information is out there. We have to become more aware, and we have to be willing to not only know about what's available, but to do something about the issues. It's not just up to, quote unquote, the church. We're all part of the church, and we're all called to put our faith into action, or else we will be guilty of having a dead faith, as St. James reminds us. So first things, be aware, and then be willing to do something.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
There is genuine consolation from the Catholic Catechism regarding the death of a loved one. The Christian who dies in Christ Jesus, we are told, is away from the body and at home with the Lord. Death marks the end of a Christian's sacramental life, but the fulfillment of his new birth, which began at baptism, now has a definitive conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. The Christian funeral does not give the deceased a sacrament or sacramentals because he or she has passed beyond the sacramental economy. The different funeral rites express the paschal character of Christian death. The greatest consolation to the Christian is the knowledge that even in death, we are separated only temporarily, that one day, if we have lived well, we will all be together again in Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
All right, I'm talking to Beth, if she's still there, because if she is, I got to tell you, Beth is in approximately a group of 7%. Because when I was in college, if I was talking to a girl, and I said, excuse me, I just have to leave the phone for a minute, when I came back, 93% of them were not there. So if Beth is still there, I don't think it's so much because she cares about my opinion. I think she's just worried about her son. Beth, are you still there?
I am.
Aha! All right. Well, okay, let's jump into some of these layers of your simple question. Five-year-old son, preschool teacher says, well, he's a sweetheart of a kid, but I don't know about his ability to focus. I mean, he's not getting his work done. Well, the first thing I'm wondering about is what in the heck is he doing in preschool? I mean, don't you color stuff? Don't you circle letters? I mean, what kind of work is she talking here? That's the first thing.
Right. Right.
Second thing is, I get nervous. I do get nervous when you have educators saying that, in my opinion, this person is not focusing at an appropriate level. I get nervous. I'm not saying, before any teachers yell at me, that they don't have the ability to understand the average attentional abilities of the kids in their grade. I'm just simply saying that because of the high profile of ADD and ADHD, so often attention problems are not significant enough to say, okay, we're going to diagnose this kid ADHD. Now, that said, she said he needs to be tested. No, there's no test for ADHD. It's a judgment call. You decide. You say, yeah, okay, given this kid's mental age, and that's the important part of it, he's in the bottom 3 to 5% of attentional abilities or distractibilities or impulsive abilities. So that's how severe he's got to be. You can't just simply say, well, I don't know, he doesn't seem to focus as well as I think he could. All right, so we don't know that. I don't know that. You don't know that, really. Fourth, he's a five-year-old boy. generally, the younger you get, the more the quote-unquote ADHD diagnosis is confused with developmental maturity. I remember a fascinating study that observed three-year-olds. And they said that a high percentage of three-year-olds would be considered ADHD if you judge them on the basis of focusing ability and attentional ability and or impulsiveness or activity level. By age five, most of them was gone. So, I would say to her, how much do you think this is interfering with his ability to complete this work? Are you saying that he can't complete it? Are you saying that he doesn't have the smarts? Or is it just that he's pulled off to pay attention to other things because he's a five-year-old boy and he's looking at this stuff and he's saying, you know what? I don't like doing this. But I'll tell you what those guys are doing over there on the other side of the room is kind of cool. I wish I could be over there. All of those things have to be entered in. And at this point, I can't tell you what to do because I don't know the situation. But at this point, there seems to be enough reservation to just see how this plays out.
That's really helpful. Thank you, Dr. A.
Here's the other problem. Let's say by second grade, you've had a first grade teacher and a second grade teacher say, you know, he's so distractible. He's so impulsive. Now, he doesn't have the impulsive component because she's saying he's a sweetheart, right? So he's not acting out.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, all right,
yeah,
there he goes.
She said he's very smart and he can do it. He just wants to daydream and go into his imagination, which is one of the things we love about him.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's ADHD. It just means what? This stuff is really boring, and I know my letters, and so what else can I do? I used to draw airplanes in when I was in school, in elementary. I draw these jet airplanes all the time because when they were having me do stuff and I thought, I'm not into this. I'll just draw an airplane. And one time, this was really bad. One time I did this in a graduate school program and my prof saw it and he said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just drawing an F-104 Starfighter. Oh. And I said, pretty good, isn't it though? And I thought, yeah, still doing what I did when I was seven. Shows you how much I have matured. Yeah, you're talking to a guy who, and the research backs me up on this, that ADHD is heavily overdiagnosed. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying there aren't those kids at the tail end of the temperamental continuum who struggle with attention or impulse control. I got that. But I'm just simply saying we are just tagging kids left and right with this diagnosis. And Beth, here's the other problem. Let's say that he, quote-unquote, is. Let's say that you fill out the rating forms when he's in the second grade, and, lo and behold, he falls in about the 98th percentile for high distractibility. Okay, now what? You want to medicate him? Or do you want to deal with whatever it is that is interfering with his completing the work? That's a decision you got to make.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ray. That's very helpful.
Well, you know, okay, Beth, there's the other problem here, and I hesitate to say this, but I talked for about 4 minutes, and you didn't compliment me until another 4 minutes went by. This is very close, Beth, this is very close to those girls in college when I said I got to go for a minute, and I'd come back, and they weren't there.
Now, I was just observing all of your wisdom, you see.
Beth, you can't observe wisdom. You can hear wisdom. You can absorb wisdom. But, you know, most of those girls didn't have five-year-olds either. That's the other thing. I think if they'd had five-year-olds, they might have listened to me a little longer like you did.
Thank you.
Anyway, my dear, you have a very blessed day. I'll talk to you.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Bye. Now, see, that's the kind of stuff that gets me in trouble. That's the kind of stuff that gets an email sent to me that says, I can't believe that you're on there and you're just trying to get compliments. You should be helping those people. Sorry about the whiny, but that's kind of what the email sounds like to me. And I got my tongue in my cheek because that's one of the problems And I'll do a little bit of revelation here. That's one of the problems when you have some kind of venue that allows you to have contact with a lot of people, because those people are very kind and they uplift you and they give you recognition that in many ways you don't deserve. All right? They elevate you where you shouldn't be elevated. And that's my way of saying, okay, we don't need that. So don't send me an email. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. We're a little over halfway through the program, but we'll get to you. And I'm going to make a little announcement about the Living Right with Dr. Ray show taping in St. Louis, where numbers are building. Very nice for those folks to do that.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This strange beatitude reminds us that Jesus is challenging us with his ways to heaven on a new exodus. We're leaving behind the Egypt of this world to find the eternal paradise of heaven. When we tend to think of happiness, we tend to think of it in a self-centered way, a possession of a temporary good or passing fancy. But Jesus is calling us into eternal happiness. And actually, morality is a search for happiness, says Dominican priest Servais Pinkers. We're looking to be happy, and a lot of times we end up at dead-end roads that don't lead us to where we want to go. How can we be blessed when we mourn? In sorrow and difficulty, hardship and cross, we are called closer to Jesus. It's God's fingerprint in our heart reminding us that we're made for eternal happiness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Congratulations to members of the EWTN Radio Network. Mississippi Catholic Radio, 7 years on EWTN, and KDMI, 97.5 in Canton, Texas. I'm here in Canton, Ohio. That's 6 years, too. To Roger Venable in Jackson and Ken Mings in Canton. Congratulations. Wonderful. Wonderful to have you there for all of those years. Now, quickly before I go back to the phones, good Lord permitting, very shortly here, roughly 2 weeks exactly, we will be heading to St. Louis. We will be taping 4 episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show on EWTN on Saturday nights at 10, and that's Eastern PM, and Tuesdays at 9:30 a.m., taping is in its 14th season, and God willing, we hope to have a little special surprise for those of you who love Peter Kraft, Dr. Peter Kraft, who I believe is the modern C.S. Lewis. If all goes well, we are hoping to have several segments with Dr. Kraft on the program. He won't be there live, but we hope to connect with him very shortly. So that's kind of unexpected. He's coming into town here in Akron, Ohio, and I talked to Dr. Kraft, or producer Dick Russ did, and hopefully we'll get the chance to speak with him and put them on the program. If you go to our catholicradio.org/Dr. Ray, you can sign up for 1, 2, 3, or 4 of the programs in the evenings on April 16, 17, which I believe is 5:30, 7:30, 5:30, 7:30. You come up with 1, 2, whatever you want. Bring the kids. We'll feed them in between the shows. All righty? It's Dr. Ray. Ed from Maine. Either that or it just says Ed me. Hi, Ed.
Hello.
How is it that 8 years have gone by without you seeing your kids?
Nasty divorce.
Did you?
I think the mother has a chemical imbalance.
Well, did were you shut out, or did they not want to see you?
No, the mother told the court that I had a mental issue and I needed a psychic evaluation.
And you didn't,
I didn't have a very good opinion.
And you didn't get one, huh?
So, my question is, I have twins that will be 17. I send them money every year at Christmas time through my mother. I never get a thank you, never get anything from them. I don't even know if they get it. I've got a 22-year-old I communicate with very little, and I'd like to hook up with her and ask her a million questions, but I don't dare to.
Why don't you dare?
Because we don't have a good kid. She didn't call me until COVID. I think what happened is my mother called him and said, your father has COVID, you should call him. And she called me, which kind of shocked me. And we got out to dinner a few times, and she's into the tattoo scene. She's 22. She's hooked up with engaged supposedly to some guy that has a 4-year-old from another relationship. And she knows I don't agree to that stuff. And I think that's why.
Well, at this point, Ed, if you want to reconnect with her, you're going to have to keep those opinions to yourself.
Yes. But I just want to ask, you know, I did ask her before, you know, about her sisters and asked them where they were working, and she says, I don't know. She says, I know they have jobs, but I don't know.
It sounds like the whole family kind of went fragmented.
Yeah, it did. It did. And what really winds me up, I guess, is my mother says to me, you know, you should get a hold of your kids and you know, try to get a relationship. And I look at my mom and I'll say, well, do you have their number, their phone number, so I can call them? And she'll look at me like a deer in headlights when I say that.
You have no way of contacting them?
I only have my 22-year-old I can contact. My twins are going to be 17 here in a few weeks. I really have no way. I ran into one of them last summer 3 times. I did it purposely because I knew where she was working. And the third time, she says, Dad, I don't want to see you. And I was kind of shocked.
You don't know, Ed, how much they were told negatively
exactly
about you. You don't know. I mean, if you had a hostile divorce and their mother thinks you're just an evil human being that is maladjusted.
Oh, yeah. Well, the mother's remarried, which kind of shocks me because the mother was very Catholic. That's one thing that pulled us together. We were both Catholic. Everybody would ask me where I met my wife, and I would tell them, at church. And then my mother would chuckle and say, at church? She says, how do you? You sit in the back pew. I said, Ma, I sit in the back pew so I can scope the church out for a lady. That's what I tell everybody. But we did. We would go to the same church, and that's not where we ran into each other. But you know, we would see each other at church.
Okay, let's get back, Ed. Let's get back to the kids.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What you can do is to text your 22-year-old daughter and say, I would very much like to connect with you, talk with you, under your terms, wherever you'd like to meet me, at a restaurant, in the park, any place under your terms. I know it's been a bad 8 years. There's a lot of things you may not know. I sure would like to straighten out some of them if you give me the chance. Kind of a very humble connection. If she refuses, then you're stuck. Not a whole lot you can do. At the end of that contact, you might say something like, if you decide you want to have nothing to do with me, I will respect that and I will pray for you. But do you think that the twins would consider just sitting down and talking with me at a restaurant? And if so, can you ask them if they are willing to give me the number. So you're taking, you're putting your hat in your hand. You're not making any excuses about the last 8 years. You're not trying to defend yourself. And you're certainly not going to comment on how they're living their lives, because it sounds like they're just, they've all perhaps abandoned the faith.
They have. It shocked me that the mother paid for my daughter to get a tattoo on her 18th birthday. Well, it shocked me.
Okay. So given all that, Ed, you're in a situation where you can just approach them as kindly and humbly as you can, and hopefully you'll touch a soft spot that might still be left somewhere in there with that 22-year-old and those two 17-year-olds. And if it doesn't happen, know this, that doesn't mean they're going to be the same 5 years from now. Things come to light. Things happen that I've seen a lot of adult kids say, you know, I don't think I got the whole story. I kind of want to find out more. And that's when they're open. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate the call, sir. Good luck to you. This is Dr. Ray.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
Within the context of St. Ignatius of Loyola's spiritual masterpiece called The Spiritual Exercises, we find what is called the 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits. We may consider, where did St. Ignatius' spiritual teaching on discernment originate from? The following is from his autobiography, which highlights the moment his spiritual teaching on discernment is born, when his eyes were opened a little. Yet there was this difference. When he was thinking about the things of the world, he took much delight in them. But afterwards, when he was tired and put them aside, he found that he was dry and discontented. But when he thought of going to Jerusalem barefoot and eating nothing but herbs and undergoing all the other rigors that he saw the saints had endured, not only was he consoled when he had these thoughts, but even after putting them aside, he remained content and happy. He did not wonder, however, at this, nor did he stop to ponder the difference, until one time his eyes were opened a little.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Yeah, we stole that bumper music from Al Cresta. He's much more sophisticated, much more cosmopolitan, much more erudite and pedagogical. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me. Doctor is in Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Co-production, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network, and Ave Maria Radio Communications there in Ann Arbor. Jean-Pierre from Texas. Hello, Jean-Pierre.
Hello, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Okay, sir. Got a kid lying about his schoolwork, huh?
Yeah. Especially, we met with the teacher a month ago because he didn't bring a work, although I asked him if he has received it and he was going to bring it, so he didn't. And we make an agreement with the professor and him and my son that he must bring it. And he didn't do it, although I asked him a couple of days. And that blew me off, and I shouted, and I lost my calmness. I would say that I might have to go to confession, too.
You probably don't have to go to confession for getting upset over something legit. Unless you really got nasty, called him names or anything like that.
I did.
Oh, well, okay. However, has he had a habit of doing this, or is it just cropping up now?
Well, he claims that he didn't he He didn't tell me because I was going to get mad. Although I have in the past, and I have promised to him, hey, I'm not going to get mad. I just want you to be successful. I told him, it doesn't matter how much is the greatest. I want you to be successful, and I want to help you when you make a mistake.
Well, those are all nice things to say, Jean-Pierre, but they probably don't make a hill of beans a difference to him.
Yeah.
Because whatever the reason, and this is very common, especially now in our hyper stimulated child culture, that schoolwork to him is either boring or unpleasant, or it's not something he really wants to put a whole lot of effort into. It's very common. How do you know whether he's being straight with you or not?
Well, I going back to your first point you were mentioning about the school, so the teacher told me that there are many kids that don't even care about their grades and the parents neither. And listen, this is a Catholic school, but that's another story. So it was last week before the Holy Thursday and all, and I asked my son, hey, did you get your grade? Did you get your test back? Are you going to know how? So he prepares to lie. And that's what really upsets me.
Does he have one teacher?
Well, this is for math. Yeah, he has two, math, science, okay. And that's one, and then another teacher. And the other teacher is more strict, I would say that.
Here's what you need to know. You need to know every day what his assignments are. And the only way to know that is one of two ways. Either the teachers write it down, and he has to bring that little pad home every day, or he writes it down, and the teacher initials it if it's correct. And if it's not correct, the teacher does not initial it. You tell your son that pad and your assignments are key to any privilege that you have this evening. If the pad doesn't come home properly signed, if the books don't come home with it, then that night, that day, when you come home from school, you're going to go to bed early, and you will have no privileges. You can't go outside. You can't watch anything. You can't play any computer games. You can't do anything but read. That's it. That's all that happens. So that pad and those assignments are the ticket to your having privileges that night. Now, I'm assuming there's nothing wrong with your son's learning abilities. I'm assuming that he's quite capable of doing the work, and the teachers can tell you that. They can say, oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows the work. He's just not wanting to do it like so many of the kids in his class. That system, if you do it, Jean-Pierre, will work beautifully. It's foolproof. Maybe a few times that your son will come home without signing it, having it signed, or missing a book, or some excuse. Yeah, we had a substitute today, and he doesn't sign anything without his lawyer looking at it first. I couldn't get him to sign it. No reason whatsoever. If it's not completed to your satisfaction so that you know exactly what schoolwork he has, that includes tests, that includes homework, that includes assignments he didn't finish in class, that's it. Privileges are done. Well, that means when he eats, he doesn't get dessert. That means he does, as I said, he goes to bed early. That means he can't play with anything that he enjoys, like his blocks or whatever it is. No, those are gone. The work has to be brought home. That will give leverage to your lecture, which is, you got to make something of yourself. This is important. Now, here's why I think you get mad. Because you're thinking, I'm raising a liar. What's the future hold for this kid if he learns just to lie whenever he's asked to be responsible? You're not raising a liar, Jean-Pierre. You're raising a kid who is lying about his schoolwork right here and now. And once you handle it, he won't be able to lie because that won't be a possibility. And hopefully, as he matures under your tutelage, this won't be his go-to response. Thank you, my friend. This is Dr. A. I appreciate everything. By the way, if you want to sign up in St. Louis for the taping of Living Right with Dr. A, go to ourcatholicradio.org/Dr. Ray. Just got the numbers. They're moving up. They really are, pleasantly so. But reserve yourself a spot, because the shows are a lot of fun, and the audience makes them even more fun. Thanks, Andrew Kruchek, producer man. Thanks, EWTN, for allowing me this venue to talk to folks. Thanks, Eric Dumont, call screamer extraordinaire. And I thank most of all you for keeping me company. Walk with God. And remember, mathematically speaking, you're in a very small minority. That's the privilege and the blessing God gave you.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.